Harris waited to be sure the young major understood what to do, then headed for her quarters. She had to be awake and alert for the coming confrontation with her aunt. She remembered to put in a call to Despite, telling them to get some rest, then fell into dreamless sleep.
What?
She woke, feeling entirely too rested, and a glance at the chronometer told her why. 9 solid hours? She would rip the hide off someone just as soon as she quit yawning. A shower woke her the rest of the way, and she came back into the compartment wishing she had a clean uniform. The one she had worn for days looked almost as bad as it smelled. In that brief interval, someone had made her bunk. Someone had also laid out a clean uniform. She could see where other insignia had been hastily removed and the right number of rings sewn on. She tried it on. Although it was a bit loose and slightly longer than she preferred, it would do. Harris headed for the bridge. The familiar uniform felt so comforting. It was going to be hard to take strips off a crew that took such good care of her. The bridge officer, Milcini again, looked guilty when she glared at him.
He said to let you sleep. I thought it was your order, sir.
He who?
Major Svatek stood up, bleary-eyed and haggard.
Me, sir. I know what you said, but we haven't had any urgent messages and the incoming group hasn't changed course. It's continuing to decelerate. The senior surgeon recommended that all shifts take a full 8 hours.
You haven't. Does this mean second shift's just going off?
No, sir. If the captain recalls, second and third had been on a 4-hour rollover standby, while first was on that last long watch. First went out, and after 4 hours, I sent second down and brought in third. First had 8 hours off, 6 in full assisted sleep. Second's been down for 5 hours, and third's just gone down. In another 3 hours, second will have had its 8 hours, and by the time they're off...
Makes sense.
It wasn't what she'd ordered, but it was what she would have ordered if she'd been thinking clearly.
Good decision. Now, why are you still on the bridge?
Because, Captain, I'm the one whose neck you could wring if you wanted to.
Harris had to admire that.
Better decision. Now take yourself off to bed and don't come back until you've slept it out. At least 8 hours. And this time, obey orders.
Yes, sir. If I could make a suggestion, Captain?
Of course.
The galleys are back in operation. I'm sure they'd be glad to send something up.
What are you, my medical advisor? No, never mind, you're right. I presume first shift 8 on the way up?
Yes, sir.
Good. Go on now, don't hover.
Svatek smiled and left the bridge. Harris looked around, checking each position. Everything seemed normal. As normal as it could be with a hole in the side of the ship and a civilian very illegally in command of it. She checked the status of the casualties in sickbay, the progress of repairs, and realized that Svatek was right. She needed food.
I'm going to my office, Mr. Milcini. You have the bridge.
In her office, she looked around a moment. She had hardly seen it since it had been Garavay's, since she had killed him. Nothing showed on its surfaces. No stains on the rug, no scrapes on the furniture. She sent for a meal, anything hot, and began working through the message stack. Despite reported some garbled transmissions from the planet's surface, they had also carried out the orbital damage survey. The Benignity commander, intending to put down his own troops, had used less toxic weapons than he might have. Although the 2 small cities had been flattened and wildfires burned across the grasslands and forests near them, the rest of the planet wasn't damaged. It would remain livable. Harris thought of the pretty little city she had ridden through, with its white stone buildings now blasted to rubble, its colorful gardens blackened. It could have been worse, but that didn't make it good. She ate the food when it came without noticing what it was. One group of miners wanted to know if it was safe to go back to their domed colony. Another claimed salvage rights on the destroyed killer escort and asked permission to start cutting it up. She suspected it had already started doing so. Those in the ore carrier, without any explanation of what they'd been doing, announced that they were going back. Harris called the bridge and asked for tight beams to both Despite and Sweet Delight. The young captain of Despite wanted to explain the mutiny, but Harris cut her off.
That's for a board of inquiry. Right now, I need to know what you've picked up from the planet.
We have no estimate of the number of survivors. We picked up two transmitters, but one may be an automatic distress beacon. It's repeating the same message over and over. The other seems to be trying to contact the first, not us.
Oh, they probably don't know who won up here, and they're trying to collect their forces on the ground. A good sign, though it may be tricky for our people to land if they're going to be mistaken for hostiles.
A light blinked on her console.
Excuse me, Captain.
The youngster started, as if she were surprised at the formality.
I'll get back to you.
This time, it was Jig Farrow on Sweet Delight. She remembered that she'd told him to keep his distance until called.
Come on back. We need to get those civilians off the yacht, or you off the yacht, I'm not sure which.
Yes, sir.
He seemed much older than the other Jig, but then he hadn't been through a mutiny, and the command of a yacht was well within his ability. Harris still had to find out how Sweeza had ended up in command, and how she'd destroyed a Benignity heavy cruiser.
A couple of them aren't aboard.
Aren't aboard? What do you mean?
Well, Lady Cecilia said it was a good idea. Brun's acting as our liaison with the miners.
Oh. Well, make sure someone brings her in.
Another blinking light. This one must be the Admiral's call.
Be sure we know your ETA.
Captain, tight beam from the Admiral.
Coming.
Harris left for the bridge, very glad of the clean uniform. She nodded to Milcini and sat in the command chair. She hadn't actually sat down in it before. She'd been too busy running a warship in combat, when she always thought better on her feet. Now she put on its headset and enabled the screen. There on the display was her Aunt Vida, Admiral's stars winking on her shoulders.
Captain Serrano.
Sir?
Harris was aware of a grim satisfaction in the steadiness of her voice. Defiance tempted her, the urge to say something reckless. She fought it down, along with the questions she could ask only in private.
Situation?
That was regulation enough. It might mean any of several things, including the straightforward need for information.
No present hostilities. Xavier's system was attacked by a Benignity force, which destroyed its orbital station and did major damage to both population centers. Damage estimates for the planet and its population are incomplete. We have not established communication with survivors. There were at least two functional transmitters. The population did have some warning, and the local government tried to evacuate to wilderness areas.
And Commander Garavay?
Is dead. May I have the Admiral's permission to send an encrypted sidebar packet?
Go ahead.
Harris had prepared an account of her actions and the background to them. Now she handed this to a communications tech.
Status of regular space service vessels?
Paradox was lost in combat, no survivors known. Vigilance has structural damage to an aft missile bay from a blowout. Engineering advises that it would not be safe to attempt FTL at this time. Despite is jump capable and essentially undamaged, but extremely short crewed.
How dirty is the system?
In other words, how many loose missiles with proximity fuses were wandering around on the last heading they'd followed?
Still dirty. And we laid orbital mines around Xavier, non-standard ones improvised with local explosives. None of those are fissionables, but they're potent.
Very well. Hold your position until further orders. We'll send the sweepers ahead. We're laying additional mines in the jump exit corridors and closing this system to commercial traffic until the new station is up and operating. Good job, Captain Serrano. Please inform your command of the Admiralty's satisfaction.
Thank you, sir.
Harris could not believe it was ending like this. Of course, there were reasons an Admiral wouldn't get into all the issues, even on a tight beam transmission, but she had expected something, some demand for explanation. Something.
Well, Admiral Serrano thinks we did a good job. I think we already knew that. Now let's get things in order for the Admiral's inspection, because if I know anything about Admirals, she'll be aboard as soon as Harrier's in orbit.